And now I want you to turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. This, of course, is a part of that great sermon that's commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, delivered by Jesus to his disciples and ultimately to the multitudes who were gathered by, and finally through the printed page in many tongues and in many languages all around the world. But don't ever forget, while you have the complete Bible in your hand this morning, there are some 1,700 dialects in the world that have not one printed word of the Scriptures. Don't take this book for granted. It's God's word to you. And really, I don't believe God loves us any more than he loves anybody else. It's God's word to the world. And this is Mission Sunday, and we shall surely be thinking about those things that pertain to the spreading of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Matthew chapter 5, and I shall read verse 13 for our text or the message today. But first, I want you to join me in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee again for the opportunity of worship and of prayer and of reading and studying Thy blessed Word. Now that we've entered upon this time of worship, it is our prayer that all other things would be cast aside, that we might forget those inner conflicts, those shortcomings of the week, those mistakes and problems, adverse moments that we've had. And may the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts today, bringing hope and bringing courage and bringing strength and bringing salvation to those who may be lost without the Savior. May it be so. In Jesus' sweet and sovereign name we ask it, and for his sake, with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, and just one verse for our text today, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. The first part of that verse I would have you to read with me again. Let's have everybody to read just the first statement, beginning with ye. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now let's read it again. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, when Jesus uttered these words to that handful of fishermen and farmers in the long ago, it appeared to be almost the most exaggerated overstatement of the first century. Jesus said to a group of fishermen and farmers, ye are the salt of the earth. They were all quite young. None of them were very experienced. They had no material wealth. They had no political power. They had no social prestige. They had never been to college or seminary. They were not well educated. About the only thing they knew was the fisherman's lingo. In fact, we might say that they belonged to what we would describe today as a third-rate colony. Don't be surprised when I say this. They weren't really too religious. But Jesus said to them, he dropped a bombshell right in the middle of them, ye are the salt of the earth, the earth's salt. That must have done something for those men that day. You know, every time we hear the word of Jesus, it ought to do something for us. When we realize that God has invested in us so much, who are we for Jesus to say to us, "You are the earth's salt. You are the thing that's keeping the earth together." That's exactly what Jesus meant. You know, if there were no churches in the world today and no Christians, it would be a terrible place, wouldn't it? The only thing that's keeping this economy together, the divine human economy, is born-again believers, lights in the world, salt of the earth. People might look at us and call us trash, but you know, I always learned one thing, that trash always floats on top. You ever think about that? You don't believe it, go out here and run some water in something. If there's any trash in it, it'll come to the top. So we may be considered trash by the world. But I don't know how you feel personally about it, but I'm a jewel this morning. Not because of what I am in myself, but because of what I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's not how we feel, it's what we are this morning. Born again believers. I'm somebody in Christ. You're somebody. Without Him, we're nothing. With Him, salt of the earth. Think about it. You are the salt of the earth. That did something for those men. It ought to do something for us today. My message to you on this mission Sunday is simply, pass the salt, please. You ever heard of that before? You know, while you were busy eating, somebody says, "Hand me the salt, throw it over here." Or in a right way, "Please pass the salt." That's my message to you. And I have three questions that I hope will penetrate your mind this morning. Number one, what did Jesus mean when He said, "You are the salt of the earth"? Number two, where shall we pass the salt? And three, how can we pass the salt? I never heard anything like that, did you? What did Jesus mean when He said to those fishermen and farmers, "Ye are the salt of the earth"? I submit to you the fact that the disciples knew what He meant. They had lived in that low bowl of the Sea of Galilee long enough to know, as they walked up and down the shores and by the Jordan, that it was hot and humid there. And they knew that the fish taken out of Lake Galilee would soon perish and spoil if somebody didn't put some salt on them. They knew what it meant. They knew that Jesus was saying to them in so many words, "Men, the civilization about you is decaying. It must have a preservant. You are the preserving element." Jesus was saying to them, "You as followers of me will be the thing that will keep the world together so that down in the year 1968, a pastor on the corner of Ford and Wilbarger will be preaching the gospel to believers just like you, who then will be the salt of the earth in the 20th century." They knew what He meant. And somehow I believe this morning that we are living in the midst of a decaying civilization. And I would not have to spend long, and I shall not tire you with facts and figures, but read your newspapers, watch the news reports. Isn't it a crying shame that in our national conventions we've got to barbed wire a city and literally hang from the rafters the Secret Service men? This is a decaying world. But I'm glad the world still has some salt in it this morning. I think you know what Jesus meant. We know that it means basically three things. One, it means that we are to preserve the truth in an untruthful world. Number two, it means that we are to add flavor to a distasteful world. And three, it means that we ought to serve as healing agents in a very sick world. Wait a minute now. Number one was preserving the truth. What is truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. This is Jesus' word, and we've got to preserve the truth in this untruthful world. Add flavor to a distasteful world. What does salt do? Try to eat an egg without salt, or potato, or watermelon. Just doesn't have the flavor that it does when you sprinkle a little salt on it, does it? That's what Jesus meant. Put some salt on the humanity out there that's about you so that the Holy Spirit can bring out the flavor that's put there by faith. I said that we are to serve as healing agents. Well, when I was growing up, and some of you, there were only two or three things that Mother and Daddy used. Hot salt water, castor oil, and turpentine. That was about the extent of the medicine cabinet. If you got a splint in your toe, Mother said, soak it in hot salt water. If you got a sore throat, and the doctors tell us today that the very best thing for laryngitis and sore throat is hot salt water. So you can just throw all the medicine away and get you some table salt and some hot water and go to work. Now that's what a leading specialist in this town told me. He said, now you can buy the medicine if you want to, but salt water will do the same thing and it'll do it better. So I threw all of my sprays away and just started using salt water. Jesus said, you are to heal the wounds of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. Let's get busy. And I know somebody asked, but preacher, wait just a moment. How can we preserve the truth? How can we add flavor? How can we heal this sick world? It's as simple as this. You can do it the same way that salt does it. You know how salt does it? Salt does it by simply being salt. No fanfare, no fireworks, no lights flashing, no trumpets blowing, just being salt. That's all. But salt has got to be in the right place. Salt is no good in the shaker. I hope you'll understand this next statement. We are no good as long as we only stay in the walls of the church. I'll say it again. We are no good as long as we stay just within the walls and confines of the church. Well, you see, Christians do not do their most effective work inside the church building. Christians do not do their most effective work inside the church building. Leave the salt in the shaker and it's no good. Leave Christians in worship and service in the church. They are no good to the world. How can you add flavor to that situation out there on the job or out down the street here in this home or that home unless you get out there with them? If you stay in the shaker, and the church is the shaker now, you're no good. Salt must be distinctively salt. It must be in the right place. We cannot survive as an island. We cannot survive in the four walls of this building. I said salt does it by being salt, number one. Number two, by being in the right place. And number three, by running under any circumstance. You know what the Morton folks say? When it rains, it pours. Doesn't stop Morton salt, and I'm not campaigning for Morton. But it doesn't stop their salt just because it's raining outside. They've got something there. They'll keep on pouring. I'm saying to you, don't let the rains of persecution stop you. Keep on running. Don't let the rains of criticism. You know, criticism is the cheapest thing in the world. Doesn't take any brain to criticize. Doesn't take any brawn to criticize. Doesn't take any real talent or wisdom to criticize. Don't let that stop you from running for Christ. Just consider the source and step up over it and say, I'm the salt of the earth, and I'm going to get out here and go to running anyway. If they don't like it or if they do like it. Suppose the preacher just quit every time somebody criticized. I've almost become impervious to it. Hard as a nail. You have to get that way, boys. I just try to keep on running just the same. And I'm glad that God said to me, you're the salt of the earth and I want you to run. Run when they like it and run when they don't like it. Just keep on running. I'm not out to please anybody but Christ. The minute I start to please you, I don't please Jesus. And you didn't put me into the business. Jesus did. I've got to please him. So if this salt kind of burns this morning, blame it on him. I'm pleasing him. Say, that's pretty good, isn't it? Salt does its job by being salt, by being out of the shaker, by being free-flowing at all times. That's the salt of the earth. Where should this salt be passed? That's my second question. Where should the salt be passed? I said a while ago, the salt does not do its work within the shaker. We do not our most effective work within the walls of the church. Salt must penetrate. Salt must be involved. Salt must be in contact before it can do its job. In the shaker, it's no good. I say again that it must be in touch. And so must the Christian. You've got to be salt out there in the office. And salt out there in the shop. And salt out there in the school. Don't let the elements of education and the atmosphere of the shop. Now listen to me carefully. Don't let the elements of education and the atmosphere in the shop or the attitude of people at work or on the same street that you live on, don't let them outflavor you. One of two things will be true. As a Christian, they'll overpersuade you or you'll overpersuade them. You'll join with them or they'll join with you. You won't remain neutral. Salt doesn't. It has to lose itself. You and I must lose ourselves in this business of being the salt of the earth. Now, don't misunderstand me. Nobody thinks that church attendance and worship is any more important than I do. I've got a lot of church members that don't think it's very important, but I believe it really is. But I say again, soldiers can't stay in the supply room all. They've got to get out there where the action is and fight. Then they come back to the supply room and get another supply and go out and fight again. That's just like us as Christians. It's a rhythm. We come in to worship, to learn, to meditate, to be strong, to be inspired in worship. We go out to fight the good fight of faith. You see, if you just go in and never go out, you get top heavy. You get clumsy. You get lazy. You know, the devil is using a lot of things to get people just satisfied with worship. Just satisfied with studying the Word and worshiping. That's not all of it. Beloved, this is only the supply room. Again, I say God didn't call us to be sanctuary lights. He called us to be street lights. Salt is no good in the shaker. It must be out there penetrating. It must be out there in contact, in touch with the world. You see, we are called not to be learners only, but to be laborers. We are not called to be worshipers only. We are called to be workers. Jesus said, work, for the night is coming. I know he said worship, but he also said work. I know he said learn. Come after me and learn of me. But Jesus also said go and sow the seed. Labor. Ye are the salt of the earth. Pass the salt, please. Where? One, in the community where you live. Two, on the job where you work. And three, in every nation under the shining sun. Jesus said it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We need to be shaken out of the salt shaker into every area of man's existence. You see, it's not a hard job to be salt this morning, is it? It shouldn't be too hard a job to come in tonight and be salt, or Wednesday night and be salt. But out there in daily contact, where men are dying, out there where men are faced with decisions, out there where men are cursing and swearing, out there where men are gambling, out there in the smoke-filled room where men are taking God's name in vain, not to patronize that, but to be a testimony wherever you are caught up in the midst of this. Salt of the earth. Too many churches today have become refugee camps for runaway Christians. Almost a hermit community. A lot of Christians are running from their responsibilities under the guise of worship. Running from their obligations, running from their duties, just staying in the church. We get our little group, we close the door, and we put a do not disturb sign on it. We build our churches almost with barbed wire fences around them, daring anybody to get out and doubly daring anybody to try to get in. That's about where we are today. Satisfied, complacent, closing ourselves in, closing the world out. That's not being the salt of the earth. That's remaining the salt in the shaker. Many Christians are like an island. You know what the boundaries of an island is? What the boundaries are? All four sides, there's water. Same boundary. A lot of Christians have the same boundary. Self on the north, and self on the south, and self on the east, and self on the west. Let's get out of this little selfish world. Let's get out of the confines of the walls of the sanctuary, and let's be salt in every country, under every condition, to every creature. That's where we need to pass the salt. When's the last time you passed the salt to a neighbor? When's the last time you passed the salt to the foreign fields through the missionaries? We talk about missions and talk about handing out mission envelopes. We got to put something in them. We got to set the right example. The world's looking on. Fellow church members are looking on. Let's do something about it. And that brings me to my last question. How can we pass the salt? How can we? Sitting at the table when you're there busy eating and somebody says, pass the salt, you've got to sacrifice something to pass it. You've got to sacrifice that bite right now and put the fork down and reach over and get the salt. Now, passing the salt for Christ involves certain things too in the passing of this worldwide salt shaker. Money is involved. Oh, I know somebody says the preacher always talks about money. Well, most everybody I know does. Does it take any money to operate your home? Does it take any money to operate your business? I heard of one case about 200,000 years ago where a certain person left a church because a preacher talked about money. She went and joined another church, and that's all that preacher talked about. So they don't have anywhere to go today. If you don't believe it takes money, you go out this afternoon or go out tomorrow and buy something and try to walk out without paying for it. Some of you are renting seats cheaper right here than you can rent anywhere in the world. I'm just sort of throwing that in now this morning. You're renting seats cheaper than any auditorium in the world. Ought not to be that way. You ought to come clean with God. Not 9%, but 10%. That's God's minimum. I love to see people smile when I say that because they know that I'm telling the truth. I said all of that to say this, that 21 cents out of every American dollar goes for luxuries. 10 cents out of every American dollar goes for crime. 2 cents out of every American dollar goes for education. 1 penny out of every American dollar goes for all churches and church-related activities. 20 times more for luxury than for Christ. And then we call ourselves the salt of the earth. Then we call ourselves Christians and lights of the world. And a Christian nation looks like we're a criminal nation when 10 to 1 goes for crime. Doesn't it? No wonder that a chief of a South American headhunting tribe said right over here in Dallas in an interview. I'm going to give you his words. Let me read it to you. "I see your wonderful country with its many resources and opportunities, and I wonder why you are not more interested in God." A South American headhunter said that in Dallas, Texas. "I wonder why you're not more interested in God." You know, perhaps we think that we don't need God. Perhaps there are some who think that God's looking in the other direction. You remember that Sunday that you took for pleasure? Why, the sky didn't fall down on you. Nobody had to go to the hospital. You didn't have a car wreck. Maybe God's looking in the other direction. You remember that time you took your tithe and spent it for some gadget around the house, or on the car, or clothes, or something else? You didn't lose your job. God didn't cut you off. Maybe God's looking in the other direction. Oh no. God has a great deal of patience and has a long time to collect. It does take money to operate the church. It takes money to educate your children in the Bible, the Word of God. That's the most important education they can get. It takes money for you to be right where you are this morning. It takes money to send the gospel around the world. Yes, it does involve money to pass the salt. And it involves time. And it involves you. You. Total you. All of you. You see, if God has you, He's got your time. Huh? If He has you, He's got your money. He's got your talent. He's got your strength. But does He have you? You're the salt, but whose hand are you in? Who's shaking you this morning? Someone said, "But preacher, I'm just one. I can't do much." But you know, if you go home and sit down before you eat and take every grain of that salt out of the shaker, just one by one, then the sandwich or the roast beef or the corn or peas or whatever you got, it just won't taste as good as it would. Because just one at a time you took out the salt. Just one grain at a time. One grain of salt does make a lot of difference. As one person, you make a whole lot of difference. Say, did you know right now that I would be speaking to you in German if it had not been for one man, one vote? The anti-British spirit was running so high during the American Revolution that a bill was introduced in the Continental Congress to make German the official language rather than English. And they got a majority of one to keep English. Just one. Did you know that you would be in a foreign country, in the great state of Texas, in the year 1845, when Texas came into the Union? Do you know that there was only one vote? Just one. Now here's the way it happened. They had taken the vote. 26 said yes and 26 said no. And Texans, we owe it to a Yankee, as much as I hate to admit it. But Senator Hannigan of Indiana said yes. And 27 to 26, Texas became a state in the Union. Did you know that Rutherford Hayes would not have been president of the United States if it hadn't been for one vote? Hitler would not have been the leader of the Nazi power if it had not been for one vote. Just one. I'm saying to you that your little grain of salt will make the difference. Say, how salty are you this morning? Are you making anybody thirsty for Christ, the eternal springs of water? What kind of salt are you? If you lose the savor, you're nothing but an empty shell. Let us be resolved this morning to stay salty. And the best way to do it is just keep on passing the salt. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, is our heads bowed before Thee in these moments of worship, as we pause just now to thank Thee that Thou hast thought enough of us to place us in this position of responsibility, may we examine the salt content of our lives. May we not be salt just within the shaker like we are this morning in this assembly, but may we go out and be shaken all over the areas of man's existence, in the shop, in the school, in the office, on the street, on the playground, in the neighborhood, within the home, wherever we are. Help us to be salt out of the shaker. Getting our inspiration here, getting our courage here, getting our strength, getting our vitality, getting our ammunition. Help us to go out and fight the battle of faith by just being salt, just being where we ought to be, just running freely under every circumstance and under all conditions. Help us to stay salty all the days of our lives. And keep on passing the salt. And Heavenly Father, if there are those here this morning who are not saved and they've never trusted Christ, may they come to trust Him today. May they turn loose everything else and just trust Jesus. If there are those this morning who want to and need to make a decision for church membership, may they walk this aisle and down to the front today to unite with this church. And Heavenly Father, if there are those here this morning who indeed are saved and they are Christians and they are salt in the earth. Oh, I pray today if they feel that they need to be a bit more salty, if they need to get out of the shaker a bit more and get in contact and penetrate and become involved with the world and shaking the salt of the gospel on those who are lost and on those who are discouraged and burdened and have problems and heartaches and sicknesses and all of these things. Oh, may we be salt, not only within the shaker, but without today. Give us courage to meet that condition, to be willing to be free-flowing, free-running everywhere we go. Dear God, I pray this morning, bring men to Christ, bring men to the church, bring us all to a place of being salt outside the shaker, to keep on passing it and staying salty. In Jesus' name.